listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say?
It was exactly what you were supposed to say, Mr. Announcer Man. It is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Yeah, that's right. There you got Doug Padgett and Hunter Haas in on this beautiful Friday, March 8th. It's my son's birthday today. Happy birthday to you, Padgett. Yep. March 8th. We always go to breakfast.
Who's taller, you or your son?
Well, that's a good question. I am a tall fella. You might have noticed that at the Blue State Bowl, especially when I stand around other people.
You were the tallest one there?
I was the tallest one there. Had my son been there, he would have been the tallest one there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 6'7". Jeez. My son.
You can get taller than that?
You can. And just to put that in scale for people, I like to tell them I'm 5'19".
Ah.
So they don't, because they don't have to do the math. So, because a lot of people are 5 foot something. I'm 6'7". My son, he says he's 6'9". I think he's 6'10".
Does he play basketball?
Yeah, he's older than that now, but he did. He's a basketball player. But now he just, plays for fun and just as tall people do, we just help other folks out of the grocery store, or as happened to me at the dollar store the other day, where someone just pointed up at the top shelf and asked me if I could grab something for him.
Wonderful.
Glad to. And I did say, I don't work here. No, she knew that. She smiled and laughed and giggled. It was kind of fun. It's a very size conscious world. Little kids especially, man. Little, there's that age when I don't know what it is, 5, 6 years old, 4, 5, 6 somewhere, where children's brains are developing in such a way that they're really into contrasts and what are kind of binaries, like this or that, and which is better and which is bigger, and man, there's kids that are around that, especially at the church that I'm part of, where it dawns on the little one, 3 years old, 4 or 5. Doug is taller than my dad.
Yeah.
They bring it up all the time. They're like, "Dad, he's taller than you." Cause for a lot of kids, the dad or the male in their family is the tallest one that they know. They make a big deal out of that. Never goes away. Even at the Blue State Ball and even on a kid's birthday. So happy birthday to my son. He's 28 year old fella today. That makes you feel like you're old when your son's 28. When your son is the age that you were, and you can remember those days when you felt like an adult. Like, holy moly. Hey, you know who I think feels like an adult today? Paul Manafort feels like an adult today.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's, he's hit 70 and he's kind of doing a whole new level of adulting now. He's having to realize that, there's consequences to your choices. There's things that you do when you steal from and violate the agreements and the tax code and money laundering laws around the world, including the United States. It's when you begin to realize that you're not just living on the weekends. You got to pay the debt. You got to pay the debt all week. What did you think of this business with Paul Manafort getting only 47 months of jail time for the 8 felony counts that he was convicted of?
Yeah, it's. If it was someone, if it was a black kid getting a drug charge, it would never be that low of a charge. So it's pretty ridiculous. All these guys always get light charges, but it's good he's going away. That someone's actually going to pay for what they've done.
Yeah, right. And see, the thing to remember here is none of this, and this is what the Trump administration is bragging about. I think they're totally wrong. None of those 8 charges specifically have to do with the times when Paul Manafort in the last 2 years conspired against the United States of America in relationship to the Trump administration by colluding with Russia. He has not yet been indicted on that. I think, it's my opinion, and if I'm right, I'm going to go down as a Nostradamus kind of guy. I think that the Mueller investigation has already sealed a whole number of indictments against people that all have to do with the work with Russia, what we would call conspiracy, or what Trump likes to call collusion. And I think they've already sealed those indictments and have not yet presented those publicly or to the people who are indicted. I think they're waiting, and they will make those public once their investigation is complete. That's what I think is going on. So I think that they charged Paul Manafort on the things they found during this investigation that were crimes he had committed before. Because you start snooping around in my life, I'm guessing, Hunter, I don't know your personal business, but I think that people go snooping around in your life. They're not going to find a legacy of crimes on an international scale, right? You're not going to find that with me or you. We're not interesting enough people for such a thing.
Yeah, not on the international scale.
Nope. I mean, maybe you know, small, petty, possession charges or something, Hunter, something like that, you know. But nothing of this scale, right? Uh-huh. But you dig around in these people's lives, Cohen, Manafort, Gates, Flynn, this crowd of ne'er-do-wells and criminals, you're just going to keep coming up with stuff. I mean, if you're looking for sand, you're digging in a beach with these people. So you're hitting sand at every shovelful. I think that there's a whole other set of indictments that are going to come out that are going to include Paul Manafort, that are going to include Roger Stone, they're going to include Donald Trump Jr. I think it's going to include that whole crowd. Gates, I think they're all, this business that, well, Paul Manafort is only being, has only got sentenced so far. That's for, I think he's going to have a whole parade of additional charges coming his direction. Now, next week, he's going to have other charges brought to him. But here's the thing that strikes me about this that I think we have to remember. We have a number of fictions in our society and in our world. One of our fictions in the United States is that we are a country of laws and not of men. That's a big founding principle of the United States of America. And in some sense, I guess it's true. But men and women are part of the application and prosecution of the law and application and production of the consequence of laws all the time. So even though we say we're a country of laws and not people, it takes a person to be an arresting officer. It takes a person to be a prosecutor. It takes a person to serve as the judge. And it takes a person to put down the sentence in some kind of collaboration between a prosecutor and a judge. So all the way through, you have people. This is why it's imperative in a society like ours that we push for moral people in the roles that they're in. To your point earlier, Hunter, and I think you were spot on, if it was a young black man who was arrested for a felony drug crime, the people in the system, first the people who made the sentencing requirements, and then the people who apply that law, judges and defense attorneys and prosecutors and the whole crowd, they're all playing a role in this. So even though we want to say that it's not, we're not run by individuals, individuals are making decisions all the way along the line. What's going to be prosecuted? At what level is it going to be prosecuted? And after it's prosecuted, what's the range of punishment that's going to be given? So we have to remember that in this case, and I'm not going to just bash the judge because this is what our system is, that we say to judges, you get to pick. So when we're making decisions about who's going to be a judge or who's going to be an elected official that's appointing judges, let's just know that this is exactly the kind of thing that they're doing. Now, the curious thing is a lot of people like me have been saying for years, we have to have judges be more humane and not just follow sentencing guidelines and not just ruin people's lives for criminality. And I think that's true in so many parts of our society, but I don't want it to be true with the Trump administration because I think they needed to throw the book at Paul Manafort because of the kind of things that he engaged in. All right, we're going to finish this segment on Paul Manafort by going to Brad in Shoreview. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how you doing? When I heard the sentence, it reminded me of the book and movie Animal Farm, where all animals are created equal, just some are more equal than others. Case in point, let's look no further than Reagan. They were held with impunity for drug dealing. Obama gave immunity to all of the Bushes and the Cheneys for what they did.
Yep.
And, the thing is some, and now bankers don't even go to jail for ripping off billions of dollars. It really has become a sad state of affairs. Well, people will argue silly points, whether it's a fee or a fine, a fee or a tax. And if you're guilty of a crime, you should be paying for it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Brad, especially when you the crimes you're guilty of are crimes, are financial crimes where you didn't pay the government. Like, that's the part that to the judge I found so offensive about the judge's, what I heard from the judge's stated rationale. I know a lot of people, family members, friends, people that I've worked with, who have been punished by the judicial system in ways that are just incredibly unfair. I also know some people who've been treated extremely graciously, extremely fairly by the by arresting officers, by prosecutors, by judges. But it's so capricious. It just feels like you have no idea. And there's all these extenuating circumstances that go into judges making these kinds of decisions. This is part of what shakes the confidence, because you're like, I know if it's a young black man, or especially like non-straight black women, boy, you the rails are pulled off and your punishments are so disproportionately high and punitive. And it's where the racism meets the personalism, and where there just seems to be very little confidence in any of us that what happens in the sentencing phases seems to be requisite, which is the reason that there's sentencing guidelines to try to get it somewhere in the vicinity. And it doesn't seem to be happening here. Brad, you got anything else for us?
I do. You know, I knew a guy. I used to work as a computer guy for the Minneapolis police. Well, he used to work for the city of St. Anthony. Mm-hmm. He actually got the guy. He was drunk, like a blew a 1.5 or something. He was the guy that wrote the law to put people in jail and was going to be subject to the laws that he had written. This guy did everything he could to get out of being responsible for what he did. So, you know, it's easy to talk, but when they come knocking on your door, it's a whole other ballgame.
It's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. Thank you, Brad. Hey, we'll go from Brad in Shoreview to Brad in Robbinsdale. Hey, Brad.
Okay. Okay, well, in regard to the Manafort verdict here, I think that Judge T.S. Ellis is, now on the short list for Trump's next Supreme Court pick, God forbid.
Oh, that is that's insightful. I haven't followed the judge all the way through, because it's just hard to get to it. But man, it's I get concerned, Brad, that you're right about that. There's something else going on that to see a judge's opinion be so strongly held. And I know that some of this is because it feels like it wasn't at all the kind of punishment that I wanted to have. So I feel that frustration. Hey, when we come back here after the break, I want to ask people to give their comments on what's going on with Ilhan Omar. She's in the news again today, and not just so much about her comments about Israel, even though I want that to be part of it. But if you want to be in that conversation, listen up here after the break on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, with your friends in the afternoon on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Gary of Minneapolis on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I got a question for you Trumpsters, or Trumpeteers, whatever you want to call yourselves. As the billionaires have grabbed everything in the country and caused so much suffering and poverty, why do you put them in power, a billionaire and a bunch of his cronies? You must be a bunch of masochists.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. March is Auto Show Month at Rudy Luther. This means throughout the month, they'll have great auto show deals on all new Toyotas. My first Toyota love was the RAV4, and it's completely redesigned for 2019, and the new RAV4 Hybrid will be here soon. Remember, buy a new Toyota and get a $250 gift card, trade in a vehicle on a new Toyota and get another $250 gift card. That means a total of $500 in savings. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley, and online at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hey humans, this is me, Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Ta-da! I'm putting on another Gray Area Thinking Human Inclusivity Training, and I want you to come. It will be at Open Book on Washington Avenue in Minneapolis on Saturday, March 16th from noon to 2 p.m. You can learn more or buy tickets by Googling Eventbrite Gray Area Thinking or by going to the Human is Human page on my website at elliekrug.com. Again, this is on Saturday, March 16th. See you there.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week, we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the latest in local politics from the state capitol, troubling trends in smoking habits statewide, a group of Minnesotans make the most of a record-breaking snowy February, and Gopher women's hockey coach Brad Frost. Tune us in right here or at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman of The David Pakman Show, where we stand up to the Patriots every weeknight at 8, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Repartee. Doug and Hunter are in today. Hunter, I really love that little bit with Gary there where he calls us Rapeteers. I don't know if you heard Brett and I yesterday saying we're going to start to dub the listeners to the show as Rapeteers.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like little musketeers. You got to get little ears or something, whatever the Rapeteers is. And I think we should probably come up with a rap.
The Rapeteer rap?
The Rapeteer rap.
That's going to end up being my job.
I think you just volunteered for it right there. Yeah. You might, you're like, I might as well volunteer for it before I, have it assigned to me.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you follow much of Fox News. I don't, but I have a couple of news aggregators and it just grabs news from around town, and all across the country and around the world. So I get some Fox News feeds. You know what's in the Fox News feed all the time?
What?
Stories about Ilhan Omar and AOC.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have got themselves a live one on the wire. So Fox News is just constantly trying to use what I find personally to be really important work being done by Ilhan Omar and AOC and a lot of others, but especially some of the younger leaders in this new Congress on the progressive edge. I really like it. And it's clear that they're going to try to make this, they're going to try to make a new face of socialism that may be beating up on Nancy Pelosi for a decade. They've grown tired of that, and they want to move on to a new target.
Yeah. So some context. I last Saturday noticed that it was about 2 p.m, and I looked at the New York Post. By 2 p.m. on Saturday, they published 7 different stories about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and 3 about Ilhan Omar, and that was before this whole Ilhan Omar thing of this week. So I'm sure there was a ton about her since then, but there was 10 stories in a couple of hours.
I mean, it's a fixation. There's no doubt about it, right? They've got, I'm interested in people's thoughts on this. Representative Omar is back in the news today because there's an article that came out in Politico, a story that came out in Politico where she makes the argument that the progressive causes and the progressive policies that she's wanted to hold on to and advocate for not only are not being held up by the Trump administration, most certainly, but she makes the argument, as a lot of us have, that the Obama administration didn't do so either. Right. So her her comments include things like the Democratic Party has been perpetuating the status quo. A lot of us have been arguing that for a long time. She says, quote, recalling the caging of kids at the U.S.-Mexico border and the droning of countries around the world on Obama's watch are things that show that we've operated within the same fundamentally broken framework as his Republican successors. So this is the kind of thing that's stirring up. And I'm interested for people, especially from Minnesota, from Minneapolis, for whom, as it is for me, that Ilhan Omar is our representative, how people are feeling about that, what they think about her role. Now, if you want to talk about the specific comments she's made twice now, once on Twitter, in trying to raise issues about AIPAC, but then also her comments about sort of that some people who support Israel might have mixed loyalties, and how those two comments both landed within the Jewish community. You're welcome to talk about that. That's not specifically what I'm thinking about here. What I'm thinking about here is, do you have thoughts about the representative from Minneapolis and some of the suburbs being in this particular role and what your thoughts are about that? So I'd love to hear your comments. 952-946-6205. And again, you can get into, you know, how she, if she's been handled fairly or not fairly on some of her comments about Israel and so on. But I'd rather hear you expand that, if you would, if you start there, into some other topics as well. Because one of the things that I think we face anytime you have a high profile representative, whether that representative is at the federal level with a congressperson or a senator or a president, whether you have a representative at your city level or somebody at your county level, the question becomes, how much do you want that person being a conversational firebrand or lightning rod? Do you want the person in that role? Is that the role for the representative to take on, and how you feel about that? And I think this is an interesting question because people really differ on this. There's a lot of times where, and I hear this a lot in the progressive circles, in the Democratic circles, people will say, well, look, the representative has to represent the entire constituency. Once you take on the burden of a representative, now you have to couch and position your own personal thoughts and comments inside of the context of your representing these other people and your role as a representative. That's on one side. I tend to be on that side when somebody becomes a representative. I think that's really important. I've been arguing, you know, for years, and on this show that I've been on, that not only do all representatives have to represent the people who voted for them, they have to represent all their constituents. Now, finding a way to do that and still hold to your values and push your thoughts and be someone who's driving the agenda that you believe is important for your constituents, that's also important. And that's what's hard to do. That's what makes being an elected official such a difficult thing. So I'm interested in what in people's thoughts about the roles on this, because one of the problems in the Democratic Party is that there have not been enough hard-edged progressives, in my view, enough hard-edged progressives who have also been in elected office to show the way for how you hold to really, really progressive ideas that to a lot of people can feel sort of almost to the level of extending outside the bounds of what we mean by America. Right, because that's what a lot of us who are progressives, you know, sort of want. Right, I've got my view on borders and view on criminal justice reform and view on taxes, and people are like, "Oh my gosh, that doesn't even sound like America," right? But we haven't had very many of those candidates in elected office to hold that bully pulpit strongly, and then also be able to function as the people's representative that does the representative's work and is not someone who is embroiled constantly in arguments and skirmishes. So I'm interested in what people think about that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And we're going to go into a break, and then we'll come back here after the break, and we'll take your calls. And Hunter, I'd love to hear your comments on this too, on the repartee.
Hi, this is Mark from Fridley, and you're listening to the Rockin' Tower of Power Hour with Doug, with Hunter, and with Brett.
This is Heartbeat for the week, I'm Elizabeth Horub, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of fantastic arts events in the area this weekend and next. Don't miss a rare opportunity to see the final words of Shakespeare, wrote for the stage, The Two Noble Kinsmen by William Shakespeare and John Fletcher. In a city at the peak of its power, the inseparable bond between two soldiers takes on cosmic implications as their love fractures and their fates fall into the hands of the gods. Experience Shakespeare's lost masterpiece, a triumphant collaboration that combines the fast-paced flair of Fletcher's greatest works with a fearless, haunting poetry of Shakespeare at his zenith. There will be performances starting tonight, March 8th, through March 16th at the Coles on Hennepin. Tickets are on a sliding scale of $12 to $22. A limited number of $5 economic accessible tickets are available to every performance, and Sunday, March 10th is the Pay What You Will performance. Go to www.kolescenter.org to purchase your tickets today. And that's Coles as in C-O-W-L-E-S. There's an event next weekend that I want you all to know about ahead of time so you can reserve your tickets. Crockpot Theater is a collection of new works created by a team of artists, dancers, illustrators, actors, and writers. Over 6 weeks, they take three common ingredients and cook up something incredible. Performances are March 15th and 16th at the Phoenix Theater. Visual art will be on display at the Phoenix Theater Gallery starting next week, too. Ticket prices are on a sliding scale from $15 to $25. To purchase tickets, find out more about Crockpot Theater and this year's amazing group of artists, and to learn how you can support delicious new works, visit www.crockpottheater.com. And that's theater with an R-E. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram with the handle at Crockpot Theater. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM 950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM 950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, scattered flurries, cloudy with a low around 11. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 30. And Saturday, snow with a high near 32. It's Greek to Me is now open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday. Their new hours are 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. If you can't join them in-house, make sure to check out their delivery services and remember them for your home or office takeout and catering. Visit It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale in Minneapolis or online at itsgreektomemn.com.
Hi there, this is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that curmudgeon category has already been filled up. Gives me a lot of running room. I don't have to worry about that. Hey, after today, being outside, no jacket on, felt really comfortable. No wind, 30-some degrees, 32 degrees. Man, it felt great out there. And then, you know, in classic Minnesota winter style, going to get you smacked in the face with a snowstorm tomorrow. I've heard it's been downgraded to 4 to 7 inches. I don't know if that's how it's going to play out here in the Twin Cities, but they're now saying 4 to 7 rather than the 7 to 10 inches of snow. There's no more room at the end of my driveway.
I don't think it's going to happen. I talked about this. The Hennepin County judge made a lawsuit against winter, or a restraining order. Restraining order. So no more winter.
Restraining order against winter, and if it comes anywhere near us, it's going to.
It's illegal to happen.
It's illegal. It's going to get melted down. I just watching the snow melt out there today. I just want it to all run right down the drain. Just go away, snow. Had enough of you. All right, so we're chatting here over the break about Ilhan Omar and her role, and of being a progressive voice, clearly progressive. And here's one of the things I just want to comment, and then we're going to get to Mark and then to Norm. For a lot of us who live in Representative Omar's district, there really wasn't much of a competition. There really was. I mean, once Keith Ellison decided not to run, she got into the race, didn't really enter into any debates, wasn't really engaged. She hadn't been sort of introduced and vetted to the larger community at this kind of level. And so for a lot of people, we're feeling this now. We're just sort of meeting Ilhan Omar as a politician at the federal level and as a national brand. And so I think for a lot of people, it's new. They're not used to this kind of thing. I mean, Representative Ellis was certainly out and about, and he was expressing an opinion, but he was cautious and careful, and measured and sort of sophisticated in his comments about such things. And Ilhan Omar, she has a different style and a different approach to all of this. So, hey, Mark from Fridley, you little rapporteur, what are your thoughts on this?
Hey, Doug, and hey, I missed Shelley on Saturday night, so I'd just like to say hello, Shelley.
Oh, she was there. She was there, my friend.
You bet. But listen, what Ilhan Omar is doing is speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There was a CNN commentator named Professor Mark Lamont Hill. And he criticized Israel and immediately lost his job and his contract with CNN. And what people have to understand is news is only as good as the source. It's only as legitimate as the source. And Ilhan Omar is speaking truth to power. People don't want to hear the truth if it destroys their delusion. And what she said today on Politico completely matches, her taking on and her willingness to speak the truth no matter what the cost. Now, I have a lot of issues with Obama, too, just like Cornel West did, and we can talk about that. But, you know, pointing out that, you know, he made all kinds of progressive promises, and then he turned around and advanced Bush's foreign policy interests for 8 years and continued the war. We had the Romney health care plan. That was from the Heritage Foundation, and we called it Obamacare. Bill Clinton.
There's no arguing that Obama did not come in, govern with the same level of progressivism that a lot of us thought he was saying in his rhetoric. No doubt about
that. Right. But with what we're talking about, the narrative and what people are talking about on the news is what the media tells us to do or think. And we're taught not how to think, we're taught what to think. Ilhan Omar is out there, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just saying, we're not going to, you know, get in line and wait our turn. We came here to do a job.
Sure, yeah.
And
okay.
I got a question. I call it getting Omar'd. And right now you got Mike Pence trying to convince Germany to start a war and provoke war with Russia. That's documented. You got Marco Rubio in Venezuela advocating for political unrest.
Yeah.
And you've got Netanyahu, who said that he can attack Iranian merchant ships in international waters. None of those three things will get anywhere near the coverage.
Are getting this attention. Yeah, this is that's a great point. It's exactly the point I wanted to make, because both because of how they land in our society and because those are so sophisticated and complicated, there's an obsession for people to jump on these kinds of issues. And Mark, I like your point. I do think that Representative Omar is saying, and you know, so are other people, that she's speaking truth. I want to suggest, though, that what she's actually doing is championing an opinion. Now, I would say it's more powerful, more important, and more beneficial that she champion an opinion than simply believe that she's telling the truth, right? Because her perspective is, this is troublemaking, this is troublesome, we have trouble on the horizon, and this is, she's making a better point than just telling truth to power. And I like the idea that she's opinionating. I think it's necessary that someone have a pretty high level of sophistication on making an argument, a long-term argument over the course of a career. But I think for a lot of us, it's better to have her out there doing it in ways that don't land so correctly. Other than I think that's the stuff about, I think that the trope she falls into around the Jewish people in this country, I think she's not quite sensitive enough to that. And for her constituencies especially, I'm not saying just for the whole population of Jews around the world, but for those in Minneapolis and in her district, I think she needs to listen to that really carefully. But I like the idea that she's opinionating in a strong way and trying to make a point. Hey, Norm, what's your thoughts on this?
My thoughts, just to qualify where I come from, I like to empower women and also empower minorities. Personally, I stick up for people at work that are minorities that necessarily can't do that for themselves because they feel that, you know, they'll be punished, you know, fired, whatever. But she's, you know, my representative. My other representative, I didn't feel he did a very good job. There was a too much political grandstanding. So as far as, you know, getting back to her constituents, well, one, I don't know why the first thing she's got to do is try to jump on the national or international stage and, you know, become, like you mentioned, a lightning rod. I think that people should come out in a more mannered way. At least how I was brought up, the first thing you don't do is, you know, go pick a fight with someone, poke them in the eye and say they're wrong. She does have a history of not being forthright, especially with the Jewish people. I have kids that are Jewish. I'm personally not. I don't really have any faith that I follow at this point because a lot of it is like the politics of today are more like Alice in Wonderland, as far as I can see. And I think just some moderation in her speech and to bring in the whole fold of her constituency, not just these lightning rod issues. At least to me, it's disrespectful to the privilege that she was given, her office that she holds. And also it's disrespectful to her constituents, as far as I'm concerned, to use it as a jumping board.
Well, thank you, Norm. Appreciate your conversation. Thanks, Norm. Really appreciate you listening. Thanks for thanks for your thoughts there. That's thoughtful. I will say, when I hear that, and Norm, I don't think you meant it this way at all, but I do feel like it smacks of a bit of a double standard. I know a lot of first term representatives and senators who are men, who are not told to kind of wait their turn and sit back and only be polite, right? The whole Tea Party crowd came rushing in and hit it really hard. People like Rubio and even Cruz and all these people. And we don't tend to say like, wow, I mean, you're kind of bold for being a first-term senator or a first-term representative, but we don't tend to respond in the same way. And that's something I think we have to be really cautious about, is that we can see her as young, we can see her as a woman, and we can see her as, you know, not white. And all three of those can become really easy to dismiss someone and to set them aside and to not listen to their ideas quite as much. So I feel that real sense that we really have to forthrightly name those things because they're so deeply embedded in our society. Hey, we're going to jump to Jane here from St. Paul. Hey, Jane, what are your thoughts?
It's Jan, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
My thoughts are this. Thank you for your last comment, because when he was saying something about being more demure, I was going to say, okay, so we have an issue with she's a woman. Second, she's Somali. We're not going to sugarcoat it. I would, as far as this, do I think she should be doing as she's doing? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the Democrats for too long have tried to play nice. And coming from Minnesota, that's our second nature. We are Minnesota nice. It's not getting the job done.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks. Did you have another comment there?
I'm sorry?
Did you have another comment? I thought I cut you off.
Yeah, I think as far as Ilhan Omar goes, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, all of them. As a white woman, I'm saying you go, sister, you go, girl. Yeah. You get the job done. The white men in the country haven't been getting it done. Talk about what's really wrong with the issues. Talk about everything. And her comment, if everybody would listen to the entire speech that she gave instead of picking out one line, it makes so much sense. It's no different than calling out the NRA for their influence, Big Pharma for their influence. The diesel, it just, no, I want her to keep doing exactly what she's, as she's doing. Be a lightning rod, be the change.
Thanks, Jan. Appreciate it. Nice passion there. Really love it. Hey, we're just going to have time to get to Gary. Just real quick, Gary, you got 10, 15 seconds for us of a comment here?
Well, I think our policies with Israel are something to be debated much more than it has, like any other country or issue. There's a lot of Jewish people that have differences with Israel, I've been told.
Yeah, it's true.
I know the European Union disagrees with us on our wide support, no matter what they do. They seem to be walk down the line with them. But I don't know how smart it is for her to come right at them. Because you remember Paul Wellstone when he first came in?
Yeah.
He got really chewed out, and they dumped on him for saying, I don't like so-and-so or something. And then Jesse Helms did the same thing about Quinn, said the same thing. Quinn didn't do a darn thing to him. So we got the media stacked against us, you know, that corporate media is owned by billionaires. And
thanks, Gary. We're going to run into a commercial here, buddy. Thanks a lot. We're going to run into the commercial. We're going to come back and do the news quiz after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice in Minnesota.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Perol, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
It's March, there's basketball, but the real madness is putting up with dirty, nasty carpeting. Time to call in your cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get three rooms of carpeting cleaned for just $129. Call 952-0-RES. That's 952-0-RES. Or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com. That's ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the AM950 special. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now.
and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Brett's grandmother. You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Boy, between that and the AARP commercial that had me hooked right from the beginning, I'm falling right in the demographic. Hey, Randy in Coon Rapids, I'm going to give you 30 seconds because I want to get to the news quiz. I always run out of time.
All right. I just wanted to say I agree with Jan. I hope AOC and Omar keep doing what they're doing because it's the best chance that the Republicans have. If they keep talking the things that they're talking, I mean, I've listened to quite a few of their speeches, mm-hmm. and both of those two women should not be in Congress. They are not the most intelligent people I've ever seen. Most of the things they talk
easy
about, they have no idea what they're even talking about. So I hope keep up the good work.
Hey, Randy. Yeah, thanks, Randy. I appreciate that.
I agree with Randy. They should keep talking.
Yeah, I do too. I think clearly as a Trump supporter, you can't put the standard, do they know what they're talking about, to be your support. All right, here we go. The news quiz. I love this little 4 minutes, 6 minutes we get to do. Hey, question number one. What Israeli lobby organization has Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar been critical for their influence in Washington? Was it the American Jewish Congress, Israel Policy Forum, American Israel Public Affairs Committee, Jewish Voice for Peace?
APAC,
which is, I didn't know that it stood for the American Israeli, or sorry, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Mm.
I just knew APAC. Did you know that was the...
I wouldn't have been able to say that. But
that was the thing?
No.
All right. Hang on. Come on. You know, I do this online, and it's giving me a little trouble here. All right. This is great radio, isn't it, when the internet piece doesn't work? Hey, under a clean energy proposal unveiled this week by Governor Tim Walz, he wants to require Minnesota electrical providers to generate what percentage of their energy from clean sources by 2050? You know, all the old promises about how we're going to change the world, they're all 2020. It's all 2020 plans when I was a kid.
Yeah,
what's the world going
to
be like?
You know, the legislator passed a plan to end poverty by 2020, and that hasn't really gone well.
2020. I think everybody should pass like 2020 plans right now, like your business, everything. Like by 2020, we're going to, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
You know, it's like 10 months from now. All right. So was it 25% from clean energy or from renewable energies, clean sources, as he calls them, 50%, 75%, or 100%?
100.
I like him. He's an all-in guy. 100%. He wants all of it. All or nothing. Hey, American actor and former Beverly Hills, 90210 star Luke Perry died Monday at age 52. What was the cause? Pancreatic cancer, drug overdose, car crash, stroke.
Stroke.
Stroke me, stroke me. You remember that that song? You know that song?
I don't know that song.
Well, look that one up for you. So it doesn't just sound like I'm just saying weird things to you. You know. Hey, what is the price tag for the curtains that will block out the sun at the U.S. Bank Stadium as a requirement for the Final Four and other concerts?
Shoot.
They build this entire thing. They brag about it. They spend bajillions of dollars. It could have been spent on other things that were good for humanity to make it all out of glass. And then they got to put up curtains to cover up all the glass.
I'm very familiar with this problem because I'm in the stage handlers union, and this is a problem we run into often at the U.S. Bank Stadium.
Well, is the cost for the curtains $730,000, $1.3 million, $2.8 million, or I'm putting my finger up to my corner of my mouth, $4.6 million?
I think it's 1.3. I'm not certain, though.
I think it's 4.6, and it was correct. $5 million.
Wow.
I mean, just it's $5 million for the curtains. Hey, what Minnesota twin is out until May because of a gash on his foot that required medical procedure at the Mayo Clinic this week? Byron Buston, Miguel Sano, Jorge Polanco, or Eddie Rosario? I know none of these names. I don't even know if I pronounced any of those right.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Do you know? Byron, Miguel, Jorge, Eddie.
Eddie.
Let's go Eddie. Guessing Eddie. Incorrect. It was Miguel Sano.
Sano.
15%.
Sano.
Sano?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, true or false, Mr. Sano? More than 760,000 migrants crossed the U.S. border without authorization in February, the highest figure in 11 years. Is that true or is that false?
760,000. Oh, I'm going to say false.
You're going to say false?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm saying true. It was true. It was true. Well beyond the capacity of what they have to deal with. You know why they're beyond the capacity? Because they're keeping all the asylum seekers in jail rather than just letting them come in to wait out their asylum procedure.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. They created the problem by the backlog. Yeah, you know what they've done? They've basically put those entrance lights on the entrance ramps, like, you know, trying to get on the highway and you sit there on the entrance ramp. That's kind of what they did. They created the backup. They've created the clog. Hey, what city voted this week to ban takeout containers that can't be recycled or composted? Was that St. Paul, St. Louis Park, Duluth, or Minneapolis?
St. Paul.
You know that? You came in confident there. I'm going to go with you. Good for them. St. Paul, correct. I didn't know this news story. The United States announced this week its plans to lift endangered species protections for what animal? They're lifting it off of the bald eagle, which are tasty as can be. Unbelievable if you've never had a bald eagle.
That was very Stephen Colbert of you.
The whooping crane, the gray wolf, or the snow leopard?
I don't know.
It's got to be the gray wolf. It's the only thing we'd care about in this place. Yep, gray wolf.
Nice.
That's what we care about here. We used to care about the bald eagle when I was a kid, but not anymore. Hey, which city's freeway is expected to be snarled with construction projects for most of the length of the summer? Which Twin Cities freeway? Is it 35W, 494, Highway 62, or all of the above?
Oh, man, I remember this. Might be all of them.
Let's do it. Let's go with all of the above. Let's go like Tim Walz, all in.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
62?
I-35.
Oh.
That's been going on for years.
Yeah.
We've built that in. All right, last question. We're just doing terrible here.
Terrible.
What for-profit college denounced it was closing its Eagan campus this week? Globe, Minnesota School of Business, McNally Smith School of Music. That's mean. They already closed.
Yeah.
Capella University or Argosy University?
I don't know. Globe.
Let's go Globe. Nope, Argosy.
Oh, I don't even know what Argosy
60%.
Is. Sorry to anyone that went to Argosy.
Yeah, and sorry, all you Rappeteers, we just really chunked that one. But we're glad that you listened to the show. Hey, tomorrow night, Hunter's on at 7 o'clock.
Brand new show, Mission Accomplishers, 7 p.m. Saturdays. Tune in.
For Mr. Saturday Night Special. All right. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Hunter. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee.